Welcome to the podcast version of Police Science Doctor, the online resource bridging the gap between research and investigative practice, for police personnel who go the extra mile, for academics who want to connect better with investigative practitioners, on YouTube and on policesciencedoctor.com.
Hello everyone, this is Suzanne Knaber-Nicole from Police Science Doctor with your weekly dose of police science snippets as every single Tuesday. These police science snippets are bits of research information that have been published in the fields of police psychology, investigative psychology, forensic psychology, police science, evidence-based policing, criminology, and all those related fields. I go through a lot of articles and try to find ones that have some kind of practical implication on the for the practitioner. So Police Science Doctor is all about getting that research information and actually bringing it down, channeling it down to the person who actually needs to use it. People working in law enforcement, civilians, staff, police officers, all those kind of people who don't actually usually have access to this research. A lot of research is done, all of research is done by academics and is usually published and then only consumed by academics and students working for their assignments, which is not the point of doing the research. So the research actually should be applied by the practitioner. That's what I'm doing with Police Science Doctor. So one of the ways in which I do this is to find three bits of information in these research articles, three nuggets that I think could be of use to you, hopefully straight away. Depending on your role, of course, it might not be relevant to you every single week, but then you can go through the library of PDFs, 177 of those with three snippets each, and see if there's something that is applicable to your role. So I talk about these on social media here on a Tuesday, and I also email them straight into your inbox with the link to the original research. You just need to get onto the Police Science Doctor email list so I can send that to you. Just Google Police Science, go to Police Science Doctor and enter your details into the form that pops up. If it doesn't pop up, go down to the bottom of the page and you'll have the form there. So the snippets this week are, first of all, pornography and sexual coercion. There does not seem to be a relationship between the frequency of use of pornography and sexual coercion in real life. However, there is a relationship between how much a man invests or spends on pornography and also his adoption of sexual scripts seen in pornography with self-reported sexual coercion in real life. So it's not the amount, but it's how much does he actually invest, how much does he spend on pornography, and also taking over sexual scripts, scenarios, sequences of behaviors that he's seen in pornography, which is often violent or on the verge of being violent, and applying that in real life, that is related to sexual coercion in real life. The second snippet is about questioning of children. There is not much research on the ideal amount of what time following an interviewer's question to a child in a forensic setting before the adult speaks again. So how long should the pause be? If it's too short, you will stifle the response from the respondent. If it's too long, it might seem oppressive and become awkward and uncomfortable. The use of open-ended questions is always recommended, which are more cognitively demanding than others and therefore require more processing by the respondent. So it's easier for me to come up with a response to a closed question such as, did you see this or did you not see this? The answer is yes or no. The answer, what did you see, takes more cognitive processing from me. It might therefore take me a few seconds to respond, obviously with children, and perhaps even more so. So natural wait time is short, but with training, extended wait time yields significant benefits for both child and adult talk. 10 seconds wait time appears to be more productive than shorter pauses. So this is about interviewing children in a forensic context. And the last snippet for this week was about, we all have, you know, all the police officers have body cameras now and they're here, but what do they actually capture now? So this research looked at the eye movements or the head movements of officers, and you know, what did that camera capture when it was up here compared to the camera that was up here? And obviously, if an officer does that, you know, they're going to capture a lot more than this camera here, which is actually hardly moving. So the positioning of body-worn cameras on the torso of the officer limits their ability to capture vital information. Body-worn cameras demonstrated limited perspective and missed critical incidents at least 33% of the time. In addition, there was considerably more head movement as officers scanned the environment and identified behavioral cues from threats and potential threats. In addition, the body-worn camera does not account for the officer's ability to recognize patterns of behavior by scanning the environment and generating plausible responses given the current circumstances. So again, the link to the research article is in the PDF that I sent, or sorry, it's in the email. You can access all the PDFs on the website as well. And the last two articles, the one about questioning children and how long to pause, and the one about the body-worn video or head-worn video, actually is open access research, which means you can click on the link and read the entire article. Of many articles, you can't actually read more than the abstract, which is a bit like a summary. Unfortunately, I have no control over that. It depends on the way the article was published. Was it published as open access, or is it only going to be accessible to people whose institution or organization or employer has a subscription to the particular journal? So that was it for this week. Hopefully there was something there that was useful to you. If there wasn't, like I said, the library on the Read page of the Police Science Doctor website, when you click on Read, has all the previous snippets on there. There will be something quite likely relevant to your particular role. Obviously, I don't know what that is because you guys are scattered all over the world, which is great. And hopefully you'll find something on there. And the way to get access to the Read page is to simply join the Police Science Doctor email list, and it's risk-free and it's free. Fee-free, so you don't have to pay anything. I'm just sending you these informative pieces of information, I think. So hopefully that was useful, and I'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you found this content useful. You can get access to each episode's transcript with key learning points, timestamps, and references if you get yourself onto my mailing list. Just go to the main website on policesciencedoctor.com, and on the bottom of each page you will find a sign-up form for notifications of new content. Just enter your first name, your preferred email address, and the type of organization you work for. You will not get any spam. This is just for me to let you know about new content and for you to get access to all the transcripts.